Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There was a young man that I met several years ago who was investigating for himself all of the world's religions. And he talked especially about Buddhism, which has, of course, a degree in which you eventually arrive at nirvana. And he spoke of Islam and its discipline of memorizing the Quran and making pilgrimages and, of course, praying five times a day. And he spoke of Judaism and its following of the law and keeping kosher and obeying the Sabbath and all of these kinds of things. And I said to him, okay, well, what have you discovered about Christianity for yourself? He said, oh, I'm not going to be a Christian. And I said, why not? He said, it's too easy. Too easy. I said, okay, too easy. Well, you know, Paul does talk quite a bit in his writings about all you need is the Holy Spirit and a little bit of water, but that everything else is done for us. Our salvation is won for us. We are made a community because of what Christ has done for us and what God has done for us. We are called His beloved children, not because of anything that you and I merit, but because of what Christ has done for us. The kingdom of God is at hand, not because we bring it about, but because Christ brings it about for us. In a little water and the Holy Spirit, a little bread, a little wine and the Holy Spirit, it's all done for us. And so, yes, that man was right. It is easy. It is easy. But we are required but one thing. One thing only. And that is to love one another and to love our enemies. Oh my gosh, didn't it just get harder? Jesus comes to his hometown, to Nazareth, and he comes to the temple and to the synagogue, and he takes a scroll and he reads for the people the scroll, and other gospels say he's talking from Isaiah. Mark does not include that information, but we can say that he's probably speaking about one of the prophets. And it doesn't say what Jesus says. Although Mark begins his gospel with Jesus coming out of the waters of baptism and going into the synagogue and saying, today I tell you, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, this is new. This is different than anything else that's been proclaimed to the Jewish people. But Jesus goes further than that when he goes out into the communities, when he goes out and meets people, especially people whom the religious authorities have said are not a part of the people of God. For the law, the Old Testament, makes differentiation between peoples, sets up obstacles for people, and that there are certain people that tradition says in the Old Testament are unlovable, unclean, and irredeemable. Unlovable, unclean, irredeemable. But Jesus comes into this milieu, into this reality, and says, no one is unlovable. No one that God has made is unclean. And no one is irredeemable. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know what? That message of love and grace and mercy drove the people nuts, particularly the elders, particularly the leaders who are saying, well, Jesus, what about tradition? What about what the law and the prophets say to us? But these people, elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says, I have compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. So what makes them, according to tradition, unlovable, unclean, irredeemable? What is it that sets them apart from the people of God according to these traditions? Well, it could be that they have an illness, such as a leprosy, something without a cure, something that they believe God has bestowed upon them because of their sinfulness. If you read the Psalms, if you read some of the Lamentations, yes, it seems as if God provides an illness as a way of correcting people's actions. But it's these very people that Jesus goes around and cures and heals and makes whole and restores to the community. He says, go, my daughter, your faith has made you well. You are not separate from us. Or perhaps they're poor. The Old Testament seems to be saying that God bestows riches upon those whom he favors, and the poor are cursed. They are separated from the kingdom and from the community. How did we know that God loves Job? Well, he had a wife, he had lots of children, he had crops, he had animals, he was righteous, and it was known he was righteous not because of what he said and what he did, but because he was rich. Elsewhere, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God. And his disciples will say, if the rich aren't going, who is? Jesus says to the poor, have hope because God loves you. Or maybe they were born in the wrong family. Because the Old Testament tradition says, you know, the sins are visited upon the sons and the daughters of the sinner up to the seventh generation. Maybe that person is set apart from the community because of something their ancestor did many generations before. But Jesus says there is room. There is room in the kingdom. God rejoices over a sinner who says, I need a change in life. God rejoices at that. But to the man who stands in the synagogue and says, I thank you, Lord, that you have not made me like this poor sinner here. Jesus says that person has another thing coming. Or maybe they were born in the wrong place. Maybe they're born in Samaria, where there is an intermarriage between Jews and between other peoples of the region. And that drives the, the elders and the chief priests crazy. But you know, Jesus goes to them and says that the kingdom of God is at hand for them as well. So you see, every time the tradition puts up a barrier, Jesus knocks it down and says, come on in. You're part of us as well. So for us today, we need to be very careful as a Christian community to say that there is a line in the sand and that some people are not welcome on this side. Because those are the very people that Christ goes to, that the Holy Spirit goes to and says, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. God loves you. We must be very careful as the church to say that God only loves the people that are within the four walls and the people who are not here, the people for whatever reason, have not associated with a church. Well, guess what? Jesus loves them as well. And finally, we must be very careful as the church to say that there are enemies of us out there in which we have to strive against. Because guess what? Jesus says, love your enemy. We have already been declared by our God in water and Holy Spirit to be beloved children of God. Our salvation is won for us. There is nothing else left we have to do for ourselves. Nothing. But God asks us and strengthens us for a journey to go from these walls, from this building, into the world to declare to everyone, no exceptions, God loves you. God loves you. You see, the people back in Nazareth, they're hearing this message, and they're saying, what in the world is this all about? Is this the carpenter's son, the one who was played in the sawdust? Is this the one that we remember, whose brothers are still among us? Where does he get this stuff? And so, by rejecting the messenger, they've rejected the message. But Jesus goes on from Nazareth into the world, and he meets people who are sick. He meets people who are poor. He meets people who are declared hopeless, unlovable, unclean, irredeemable. And Jesus says, have hope because you are loved. Because God makes you clean just as you are. And God redeems you. We are to go and do likewise. You see, it's about love. And no one in this world, no one within this room is unlovable. We are called to love one another and to love our enemies. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.